Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been kind of concluding our discussion about cooperating with God and what it means to have a relationship with Him, and how do we make sure that what we're doing, as far as our relationship, is practical, that it means something, that it's doable. And I want to start out from here talking about a question. If God knows and controls our circumstances and knows where we're at, where we're coming from, how we got here, because He brought us here, and He accepts us regardless of how we're doing, aren't we saying that we can do whatever we want? What is our motivation to do good, or even to love Him, or to change? And those are really good questions, because what it's coming down to is really exposing what we believe and our motivation for doing things. Yes, God is absolutely in control of our circumstances, and He is in control of how we got here. But our spirit is in full cooperation with Him. So it's like a conspiracy. Who you truly are is conspiring with God to take whatever course is necessary to free and heal your soul. So He's not really interested in motivating you to do anything. He's going to do the work. He's going to change you. As far as doing whatever you want, your soul is already doing that. Your soul is already doing whatever it wants. Now, it may not feel comfortable. Sometimes what your soul wants isn't good for you, and what your soul wants doesn't feel good. But when your soul only has a hammer and a drill as tools to live life with, everything is either going to get pounded or drilled. So God is in the process of not necessarily taking those tools away, but expanding your options. He's not out to remove your temperament the way He made you, but to alleviate the need for your soul to fight its own battles, to meet its own needs. So what does it look like? Say we can, you know, the struggle is always between legalism and license. Well, and some say, well, we just need to find the balance between the two. Well, we're using terms that only apply to the soul and really only apply to the flesh. Because when your soul is perfectly aligned with your spirit, it's neither license nor legalism. You're not determining what you're doing by a decision-making process. You're doing it instead by which decision is life. And today, turning to the left may be life. Tomorrow, turning to the right may be life. And the only way we're going to know is to be walking in life, having a relationship with eternal life. Now, part of the question is, what is our motivation to do good? And this is where our strength comes in, is we want to focus, we want to have a goal, and then go for it. And in some respects, God wants us to do that as long as He's in charge of the goal and how we get there. But very often, we set up a goal for ourselves, for instance, to do good, to impact our world, to change our community, to help someone in need, to evangelize, save someone's soul. We want, as Christians, we think we are charged with doing good. Now, if your doing good is a consequence of you living God's life, letting His Spirit flow through you, great. If not, that's fine too. So He relieves us of the pressure of doing good. This is one of the challenges we have when we start talking about the parameters of the Christian church. And this is the faith, for instance, in America, and belief in God is definitely on the rise, and yet church attendance is on the decline because people are realizing in many cases that what the church is offering isn't meeting their need to know God. They aren't teaching what they need to know God. And this is one of the great things about this kind of a question is you can take it right to God. He knows what the root of the question is, and He will answer it. So then we get to or love Him or change. Well, again, your spirit already loves Him. 100%. You don't have to worry. You could even say, hey, I hate God. He's not offended by that. He doesn't care what you say because that's not who you are. Or to change. Okay, He's the one in charge of the change. Now, for some, that might be a real panic moment. That, wait a minute, well, if I'm not supposed to change me, what am I here for? What do I need God for? What is a Christian walk then? If it's not to do good, to love Him, or to change, it's to be with Him. It's for His good pleasure. Relationship. As if you and He were the only ones on a deserted island. And He was thrilled with that because He had you all to Himself. And we can't, very often, that's a real hard thing to accept, that that's all He wants, is to be with us. Surely there's got to be more to this. Not really. There's that simplicity of Christ. And when we start adding to the requirements of relationship, very often what we add is more of a reflection of our beliefs, our history, our wounds, our temperament. You can do whatever you want. Here's what happens. Say you start in whatever it is you're concerned about being offensive to God or doing whatever you want. You're doing it for a reason. You want it for a reason. God doesn't say, okay, now you have to stop doing that and then wait for that your soul to kick in, for your will and your emotions and your brain and everything to kick in and fight that thing. Now what He does is He takes away the desire. That's how He does it. And He can do that in a variety of ways. But it's not that He makes it clear that you shouldn't want it, so you have to stop wanting it. Instead, it doesn't satisfy. It's like, okay, are you done with that now? Can we move on? He's not, if you touch that one more time, I'm going to break your arm. It's like, no, get it out of your system, and you'll see. And what's really interesting is so much of the time, the thing we want, we really don't want. It's just we think we shouldn't do it, and it somehow goes back to that whole rejecting God before he rejects us, trying to control him, trying to say, well, I'm going to make it sure God doesn't ask me to do something that he wants me to do. I'm going to make sure that I don't have to try to live up to his high standards. I don't want to be one of his good people, because then he'll make me do something I don't want to do. And it's through this process of finding out what it is that you think you want to do that God doesn't want you to do, that you're really finding out what you really believe about his nature, about how much he really does expect of you. And then to find out that all of his expectations of you have already been met. You're done. You're finished. You are complete. Your throne is reserved. Got your name on it, if that's what you're concerned about. Now, here we could get into, okay, what are our expectations? So, if you want to go through the rest of your life just resting on that, that's fine. And just going, okay, God, I know that I don't need to do anything to please you, so I'm not going to do anything. That's fine. If he ever does want you to do something, he'll put that desire in your heart. And that's what we want. I'd rather have one person working on a problem, for instance, a social problem, a community problem, a global problem that God puts there to accomplish his purpose, than a billion people all working on that problem. God created the problem. And this brings us full circle to the whole concept of good and evil. Because that's what we're fighting within ourselves, the good and the evil. Are we going to do good things and keep from doing evil things? And we're judging ourselves. It's so funny, these days we're not allowed to judge others, but we're really good at judging ourselves. And honestly, we need to get good at doing both, not being judgmental, but being able to judge wisely. Discernment, it's called, wisdom. And while people start telling you, no, you need to, not have any discernment, They're saying that for a reason. Now, your judgment and your discernment needs to be fine-tuned by God. So a lot of these tactics in our life are just that, are just tactics. Because, again, we're not alone. We have three enemies: the world system, our own flesh, our wounds, our history, our crutches that we all have used, and the devil. And they're all out to keep us from resting in him. But guess what? If it's not your time to be learning how to overcome them, you're fine. Don't worry about it. And don't worry about what other people are having to go through. God's got a plan for each one of us. And allowing him to determine what your day, each day, is to accomplish in your life, that's between your spirit and him. And sometimes he lets our soul in on it. So what is our motivation to do good? Hopefully none. Hopefully your doing good is not because you're motivated to do good or to do anything. I love my own illustration of sitting at a table, having dinner with God, with a whole bunch of friends, and everybody's talking. We're all talking with him. And, of course, he's at the head, and he says, pass the salt. And somebody passes the salt. And then we continue with our conversation, and he says, now pass the mashed potatoes. And somebody passes him the mashed potatoes. And he turns to one and says, go down and heal the sick. And so they leave the table and go down and heal the sick. And to another he says, go down and encourage my children over in this corner of the earth. And they go down and do that. And it's all the same. It's all the same. We do it because we love him. And we have gotten so used to being a receiver of his love. And we have accepted that we're worthy of his love. That when he says, now go share his love, we don't need to be motivated. We don't even worry about it. We just give. It comes naturally to us now. Not because we've taken a class or practiced it, but because we've been in his presence. In his presence is where we receive. We receive his nature. Our soul is changed. Our purposes, direction, questions answered in our soul are all changed in his presence, with him, being with him. So that when he does ask us something, to do something or to be something or to change something, it's already done. We are just taking that step. It's like taking a step in on that path, and as you put your foot down, knowing that he is guiding it to step exactly where it needs to step. By being with him, by experience. Now, this can be challenging expectations about what Christianity is, but it's meant to. And we each, for ourselves, have to decide what's important and be not to God, but to us. Is what you're doing satisfying? Is the effort you're putting into whatever it is you're doing or knowing God, trying to please him, is that satisfying? Now, none of this certainly is not to give the impression that there isn't work involved, an effort. But that's in a response to having received. When we know him, there will be tough decisions that we will have to take responsibility for, that he will tell us, yes, and tell everyone else no, and vice versa. And all the no crowd will get on our case saying no, 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 but we have heard a yes. And when we hear a yes, it doesn't mean there's not going to be an effort and a work to do it anyway, because we know we've heard a yes, because the no's aren't going to stop. God knows what he's doing in you and for you and through you. And this kind of leads us into our next topic for moving our series forward. Accept that God loves you as a unique individual and wants what is best for you. Your value to him is not measured by what you can accomplish for him, but is realized by how much you depend on him. Your spirit's done. All the change is going on in your soul, a little bit in the body. The body is like, you know, it's going to be the last final thought. It's your soul that needs the care. And the reason that that is because this is what God has created for this earth to be the proving ground for. When Jesus was here, he took care of the devil and all his cronies and all his wickedness. All his ways, all the ways he does things were overcome 2,000 years ago. Likewise, the world system. He overcame everything in this world. But he didn't overcome his flesh, because he didn't have any. His soul was always fully joined to his spirit. So when we're in him, we also have overcome the world, and we also have overcome the devil. But we have not overcome our flesh. We love our crutches. We love to do things our way. And we're good at it. So that's why we're here. Is the process. It's not achieving the goal. Our success in overcoming our flesh is not in overcoming a particular area of the flesh. Our success in overcoming our flesh is developing the process as a habit. That when our habits, our crutches seem appealing, are we drawn to God? Or do we try to resist them ourselves? The only way you'll know how you're doing is if you ask him. And so many of us, again, we hear the, you know, don't you want to go to heaven and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And again, my response is, well, isn't that too late? Don't we need to know now how we're doing? And it's not about doing good or doing what we want. And it's not even the answer to that question, how we're doing. It's where are we getting our information from? Where are we getting our encouragement, our guidance, our healing, our understanding from? do we turn to Him first? And again, the simplicity has not been passed down from generation to generation. In every historical move of God, there are those that have supposedly learned this trick, and then it's not a trick at all. It's, is God God? And if He is, isn't it His job to reveal Himself and to teach us His ways? Isn't that His job, to be the God? Well, think about that. The more you depend on Him, the more your needs are met experientially and practically. When you start experiencing healing and the change in your soul that comes from that, you'll want more. Now, sometimes healing brings pain with it, but when you go through the pain and you experience that joy, you want more. So it's no longer motivated by, okay, I need to get healed to overcome this misbelief, this lie I've been believing. I'm not making God happy, so I need to change this. No, it's enlightened self-interest. That being healed is good. It's a good experience. It sets us free. It's the goodness of God that draws us. And our fear of that, again, reveals what we truly believe. Yes, you can do whatever you want. And the things that are going through your head right now reveal what you believe about God and about yourself. And about what you've been taught. I even encourage you to write it down. What are you thinking when you think, I can do whatever I want? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Write it down. Nothing outside of God can compare with being in His presence, with letting Him reveal Himself. There's nothing adequate to describe the satisfaction and contentment that awaits those who know their God. So whether you are in a full-fledged battle or in your backyard in your hammock, you still have that same oneness with God. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter how you're feeling. Whether you're feeling defeated, you could be right in the middle of the greatest victory of your life. The more you depend on Him, give Him your time, give Him opportunity to reveal Himself, the more your soul aligns with Spirit and becomes one with Him. That is true value. That is what we're here for. Even if the world never sees it, even if nothing else is ever affected by it, even if you never impact the world, your family, your friends at all. Because it's the change that God wants. You're enough. You are His purpose. You are His goal, bringing you into oneness in Him. He is not about what you can do for Him. He is about you in Him. So thanks for tuning in. As always, if you want to drop me a line, yeah, have questions, comments, you're always welcome. Diane@therainersclub.org. Use the contact form on the site or through Blog Talk Radio, this program. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.